Blog Talk Radio.
And I can't believe I dug out baby doll barrettes.
Yeah.
The fact that I'm 34 and still have them in my house means I'm a hoarder.
Yeah.
And
so
I need
call them on you.
I don't know why they're still in the bottom of this tin that I have full of barrettes and things and hairbands I haven't seen since like the 90s. And I knew I still had them surprisingly. And when I went and dug through my entire outfit, which is up on our page, even down to the Doc Martens I bought when in 96 I went to England for high school on a school trip. A lot of my friends, very cool, my big purchase, the Flower Docs. I knew that I went into my closet and I excavated them from the bottom of the closet, which was dangerous. What's that movie, The Descent?
Yeah,
like that in
yeah, in West Virginia.
Yeah, I almost got eaten alive by like old clothes and suitcases. And I got the shoes. And I can't believe I found these things. There's a flannel shirt. There's the 1994 Sour Spiral Tour t-shirt that still fits or fits again, so that's cool. Oh, yeah. It's going to get crazy in here,
too. Yeah.
And I hope everyone's prepared. And we've definitely invited a few people. Personally invited a few people from a friend from way back to the beginning of, like, me being friends with people. We have another good friend that should be calling in a little bit, too. But anyone's invited if they want to grab, if you still have access to the journal from back in high school. I can't believe I do. Again, I keep everything, bad or worse. If you want to share what you were like then and what you're like now and if things have changed. I was reading through this journal, and I noticed that some stuff hasn't changed. And I'm really impressed with that.
Well, if you didn't know,
shocking.
This is teenage hustling.
Indeed.
Our flashback of what would you say to your teenage self, since people say that, you should forgive and love your inner child, but crack your inner child. What about your stupid?
Okay, so there's the inner child that you.
Yeah.
So what do you think the inner teenager?
Yeah.
Because we all have, I feel like, the inner teenager in us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe that's what manifests when you feel like angry or something, or things just kind of get to you like that, like they did back then, or maybe you're hot headed or your depression. I mean, a lot of stuff can trigger those feelings. Were really intense. I think. Great. Even like the coolest kids still had some crap going on,
you know.
They didn't look like it to me.
Yeah.
Real quick, we should each like explain how we work real fast.
Right. Wait, before we do that, it's appropriate we're doing this because 22 years ago on the exact day today, on this Thursday, what show featured? Yeah.
My So-Called Life?
No.
Oh.
Beverly Hills. The TV show that changed the television landscape for an advertisers wanted out of network.
The TV show really
in California. Yeah. That's why I never wanted to move to California.
It wasn't like that in South Jersey or North Jersey, where we grew up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real quick, do you want to do you real quick as a teen to give everyone a basis, and we'll jump from there?
Well, I was going to just start off. I would tell my teenage self.
Well,
okay. Something.
Give me that attention. for us to sit here, you know, and for anyone to, like, sit here and be like, stop being so mad. Which is unfortunately what happened with me. And self-image, meaning I thought it was fat and ugly. That's what definitely rap. I still had fun. Not a loner. Had a lot of friends, different groups of friends, and we had a lot of fun. We had a ton of fun. Every different chunk and different action of friends can ball together.
Yes.
I'm thankful for that. Still in touch with them, which I appreciate, because I miss them. It's cool to be in touch. Still have a good time. I just spent a few weeks ago, I just spent some time with a bunch of them, and it was very cool. But reading journal, it's shocking
it was right.
how unhappy I was, and it's almost a little like
It was the Clinton years, which were wonderful for music, actually. We didn't get into any wars after the first Gulf War, and Clinton didn't want to do any wars or anything like that.
The music was woo! TV was great.
Yeah.
You know, who didn't love Again My So-Called Life? Can we go back to that? That's when it was really real.
I was too busy watching the end of Not Landing the Golden Girls. Still, I was home on Saturday watching Sisters.
Okay, so back to the eating thing. But what about your, like, yourself back? Would you consider yourself a sad kid? You were more of the loner?
I don't know. I just didn't make friends at all.
Oh.
Because I moved around. I moved around so much as a kid that I never had footing, you know.
Right. Maybe you felt like a little displaced or something.
Yeah.
A little bit of an outsider.
Yeah. Oh, and...
And my friends as well, we kind of get a group of, well, we don't care then.
Yeah.
And we would kind of, like, give it back to them in a way. You know, that was something that it was, I guess, you know, a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
What we wanted to do. Shall we go to my first?
Your so-called life? Let's go to your so-called life.
I found, again, I keep everything, maybe I have a problem, but it's cool to have the journal. I don't know how many people journal anymore, I guess, social media, like
Well,
Facebook,
that's what blogs are for.
Yeah, but here's
Get
the thing.
Get a Tumblr. Allison.
Wait a second. It wasn't meant to be seen by anyone else but me. This was therapy. So what I'm getting at is, are people taking their stuff that should be therapy in private and then putting it out there? Because if you put the stuff that's in here on Facebook, there'd be one crazy messed up kid that the world saw, and that's kind of like a cry for help and disturbing. So maybe think about it before you do your little, like, wah, on Facebook or your blog.
Yeah.
Think about maybe that should go in the journal. Maybe go back to the journal times. And if you need to have private time, or maybe just go back to therapy. Because some people, you know, we could all use it. But anyway, a lot of stuff in here was pretty dark, and I was a little disturbed myself.
Were you sullen and morose?
I was angry.
You were angry.
Yeah, and I know that I still get angry now, but it was kind of like, you know, where the writing gets crazy, and I'm like, rah!
Petulant.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, Allison. All right, so this one's a little more lighthearted. I didn't want to get too deep because, you know, I don't know all you people.
No, no. At least not yet. It's still our pilot season.
Yeah.
Just like Buffy, we know. We have our growing pains.
Yeah, that's fine. That's growing pains is written all down here. This is a book full of growing pains, but it's mine and I'm proud.
Each other.
All right, so March 15th, 1996, Friday, 12:05 p.m.
Let's hit the milieu. What was going on in 96? I was starting my freshman. I was in the midst. What is that? 96? That was before you graduated.
Yep, before I
high
graduated.
School.
Yep. This is
okay.
Year.
So I would have been in my second semester at Ramapo.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And listening to, like, La Bouche.
All right. The Mouth.
The Mouth, and getting myself, you know, prepped for clubbing, and missing Sherry Freeman, my best friend in high school.
Aww.
And driving to William Patterson at all hours of the night and almost failing out of Ramapo.
We were lucky you didn't, because I would have met you. And
well, it was I was saved by Melissa Sack. When Melissa told me she was going, I didn't drop out.
Yay, thank you, Melissa.
Yeah, I almost said
I hated good friends till today still.
I hated Ramapo so much.
Until we came.
Yeah.
Until I came.
That freshman year, I was miserable.
Oh.
But yeah. I had no roommate, which was great, so I had a room to myself to be sullen and morose.
Oh, good.
And wear my green Aeropostale flannel.
All right, so here we go. March 15th, 1996, Friday, 12:05 p.m. Quote, "This is for all the lonely people thinking that love has passed them by." End quote.
It was a few days after my birthday, too.
Oh, that's funny. "Could this song have come at a better time?" Question mark. "SHS Disco Dance Night. I had fun, but something was missing. What is it? Oh, yeah, I know. Gross James and his rad pewter dragon for gross Steph. The holy couple slow dancing." Like they have sex all their time.
Angry Carrie.
Maybe Crystal and Rich looking cute at the Medport Diner. Or Maria leaving with Joe. Surprise of the night. She really likes him. Good luck. Or Jess at her boyfriend's birthday party at his apartment. Even though I thought I saw Colleen and Alex arrive to the dinner in a limo? What's with this insane couple night? Please stop. When is it my turn? What am I doing
now?
This is the sad part. What am I doing so wrong that no one cares? I know, it's my looks. I'm trying to lose weight, but I have to do more. Get serious, Allie. Hurry before it's too late. I have to crack down and work hard or else. Okay. He's going to have an aneurysm.
Because it sounds like us.
Because it sounds like something we might have said yesterday. That's also one of the other reasons why I picked this passage. A lot of them were, like, not sad times. Some of them were, like, me crazy angry times that were a little too much for a half-hour show that's supposed to be lighthearted as well.
Entertaining.
Yeah.
We're here to entertain you on Authentic Media.
Right.
We're the entertainment.
Exactly.
We're not here for your entertainment.
So what I did is, like, I picked this, I looked at it, I read it last night, and I realized I'm 34, and this is still an ongoing issue,
yeah.
An issue with me and my looks, me having a problem with my looks. Ironically, I'm trying to get back to the size I was in high school because I wasn't fat, but pretty much I always thought I was because I had a body dysmorphia thing in my head about just always looking in the mirror and seeing someone ugly. Not saying that fat is ugly, it's just that it was the bad word that I used to call myself ugly and thinking I wasn't pretty and no one liked me. And realizing now, here we go, here's the little tie-in, here's what we're going to play with the lesson.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Yes, I still think that way, it's not going to happen, so I have to stop. And reading this and looking like, you know, in my worst days right now, I go back to that 17-year-old or whatever, where I'm like, I'm ugly, I'm gross. I don't really think that way as much as I used to, but when stuff gets really bad or I let the depression, like the core basic, like id depression creep in, that's what it's saying. It's saying exactly what it says right here in these pages when stuff gets really bad in my head. But I know now what I've learned, because I have grown, I have, is that I'm going to put it out there and that's what's going to come back to me is just yucky nothing. You know, or I'll attract some person who feels the same way about themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'll see that guy and I'll be like, ew. But why is he the one coming up to me? Because I'm just like, ew about myself.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what I know now that I didn't know then. When those thoughts still come into my head, I can at least go, all right, delete or take it away. You know, something like that. But I did, ironically, when I picked this, I thought about me and you.
Yeah.
I thought about a month ago, I had the wah-wah couple talk with you on the phone.
Yeah.
Because I was at a party and the only other person without a boyfriend was the 4-year-old, okay, besides me. So I had one of those.
My 4-year-old.
No, it was just me and that 4-year-old girl and everyone else was a couple. And I was feeling like, so that's why, you know, so here it is, like, back all those years, reflecting back, but at least I know what to do. I'm putting myself out there and being more positive about it than I was then, just hating on myself, being depressed. Being positive was the hardest thing that I'm definitely still learning, probably for you too. And do we want to go talk to our friend who's on the line?
Yes, you ought to know.
Oh, my gosh. Very good friend. I know Lisa's in the queue. We can speak with her now. Lisa, would you like to say hello and share with us? Hello, Lisa.
Sure. Hello.
Did you enjoy that little split? I know you didn't know me back then. We all know each other from college. But did you enjoy the reading, the dramatic reading?
The dramatic reading on Lady.
Yes. You said it with such flourish, too.
Thank you. So, sweetie, what would you like to talk about? What do you want to share?
Well, to kind of be on topic, when I look back at some of the things that I used to kind of journal and write about, like, I'm kind of, like, appalled at myself now in that when I was younger, even though I was saying a lot of nonsense, I was so much braver than I am now. I was like, I really was way more willing to put myself out there, and I'm like, what happened to me? Like, what? When did I become such a chicken?
That's interesting. Like the exact opposite of a lot of us.
I need to kind of recapture like more of like the essence of my youthful enthusiasm, I think. That's kind of what I mean, really, when I look at some of the things I wrote, it's so appalling. But I'm just like, you know what? You took chances.
Yeah.
Where are you?
You know what, then? That's exactly, you said you took chances. That's exactly what you have to say to yourself now. Maybe that what is that, like, jaded adulthood or, like keeps us down or something? And it's like, you know, knowing even more people and everyone's critic. So go back to your younger self and say, I don't care if it's going to be appalling, just take a chance and write what you need to write. You know?
Yeah, because it's interesting to hear you say that you got more fear and scared as you got older, because I've been the opposite, because I felt more of a victim then, and I felt more sorry for myself then, and it wasn't until I started my 20s I had to get out on my own and that I had to learn to stop feeling sorry for myself. And it's just something that I started to see what I was attracted to in my life, the people around me, and I was like, I just don't want this anymore. I don't want to feel like this anymore.
Realizing.
Yeah.
And that was a cool thing. You told me this today, Lise, before you just called in, that, you know, the craziest difference is like, whoa, I was like more open then with, I guess, well, you're just basically talking about what you were writing, since we know you're a writer, like take chances on that kind of thing.
Totally.
Yeah. Go out there again. Did you wear a baby doll barrettes back in the day? Even if it had to be something, I know this is kind of like hokey, but if it's like put on the outfit or it's like put on the thing, you know, from yesteryear and throw on that one song. I was playing Reptile today, Lisa. Put on that one song or something that takes you, like whips you back, you know, like in the in real quick, and maybe it's even like you could start back there, but you're grown up you, and like get a little more fearless at the start, you know?
I have like this weird hang up in that I used to write so much when I was younger, all the time, constantly writing, and I was very confident about it.
Right.
So as I got older, just being exposed to a lot of other people's writing, and I kind of got myself into a weird block where now I'm afraid to fail, I think.
Okay.
Are you afraid of criticism too?
I'm afraid, like, I'm my own harshest critic for sure. Like, I'm just like, like I said, I'm too precious about it, I think, right now. If I could just break that cycle.
Do even something small, even if you think it's, like, crazy or silly, do it to break the cycle. And then, you know, maybe then it'll be easier for you to get more, to get serious about it and not be as afraid. It's like something, you just have to put one thing out there or write a little thing and show us. Or maybe some plus. And be like, hey, guys, you know, read it. And it's just, then you just released it. You got to, like, I know with some of the stuff I've done or even with photography and a show with friends, it was almost like I was scary to hang it on the wall. My one good friend who has been in our shows forever is like, you look like you're babysitting. Like, I was afraid to step away from it. He's like, it's okay. You can walk away, you know. And I did. Someone bought something and... some people said they liked it, and even if they didn't, that was just, I had to put it up and walk away. So you've got to write it down, hand it out to whoever, I'd love to read it, of course, like whoever you want to give it to, and let that happen, and then it will get easier. That's what I think, you know. But thank you for calling. I appreciate it. We're going to see
you. No problem.
Love you, girlie. I'll talk to you later. We're going to jump to Krissa. Krissa, my oldest, bestest friend since we were two, I believe. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Well, we've been through a lot of angst together, her and I.
Yes, we have.
A lifetime. I mean, that's definitely safe to say. Chris, I know you're going to share something from back in the day with us. Please do.
Oh, I have so much. I was so excited when I heard that this was the topic of your show. And then I went back through all of the stuff that I had saved from, you know, middle school and high school, and I just want to go back there and smack myself in the face. Oh, this is so, these are so bad, but very much along the lines of what you had gone through back then.
Yeah. Just like hating, you just didn't like yourself. I didn't like me. It, you know, that's the tough part. Do you have a poem for us?
Oh, I do.
All right, let's start for Krissa.
Okay, I will read this, and no one's allowed to laugh.
All right, honey, it's okay. Go ahead. I love you for doing this, by the way.
Okay, and I should preface this by saying this was something I wrote for a poetry project, I think junior or senior year with Mr. Moran, and I actually gave him this
as
part of my project, and I'm thinking, and I just look at it and think, what was I thinking? So it's called Ignored.
Oh, no.
I am alone, left to be ignored. I sit alone, they sit together. I am ignored, a leaf in the wind, blown from one person to another. Some notice, all ignore. I am alone. I am called. They are children picking up the leaf. But they soon lose interest, and I am once again ignored.
Oh, my. Okay, that's for Krissa. Thank you. Oh. Did it go into one of those, like, when Shawnee would put out the poetry books?
We had to do some kind of project for poetry class where we had to give poems that we liked or give our own poems. So that was in there. And I think it was this whole, like, I was just feeling left out of everything moment.
Yeah.
And so I wrote it down like, hey, look at me. I'm ignored. Feel pity for me.
Yeah.
But that's what, you know, that was the time. That's what would happen at that age, really. So what would you say, you know, you now, like, you're looking at the Krissa then, who just wrote the poem and handed it to you and you read it. What are you going to say to her?
What would your adult self
say to her? What would you now
say
to her?
Right now.
I would say to get over it. I think a lot of how I felt back then was a lot of my own doing. I cut myself off a lot.
Okay.
And I think, Allie, you know, you kind of understand this because we did this, you know, we both did this, is that you feel so low that that you kind of wallow in your own misery and don't want to deal with it, so you just want to feel even more miserable. And I think, you know, yeah, I, you know, all I had to do was go up, get up from wherever I was sitting, go talk to somebody.
Exactly. But it's, yeah, it's being comfortable in that depression because it's like yours, you know.
Yeah.
That's just something that you can be like, get up and talk to someone. Come on.
Yeah. It's too, it's so hard to see the bigger picture.
It is, but it's cool now, and it is. And even looking through the journal like I did last night and you reading that, it's kind of cool now to go back and have that perspective.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, babe. I appreciate it.
All right. Love you guys. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was awesome. I'm so glad. Do we want to, do you want to hear one?
Jagged little pill.
Do you want to hear one of mine?
Sure.
Okay, we have time.
We got 4 minutes, yes.
4 minutes. Here's some zazzy poetry about a boy. There were a lot of crappy boys that I liked, and here's one.
Most of them were gay, right?
No, none of them were gay. I never had Curse the Pink One. I knew better.
Oh, yeah.
January 17th, 1996, 11:43 p.m. Wednesday. Cool. It's 11:40 p.m. Everyone's asleep, but I'm not, because my feet hurt. I shoved them in this morning, tight black buckles, 3-inch heels, because sneakers aren't sexy. They don't attract the raging hormones of 17-year-old boys. Did you even notice? Maybe if I shoved the heel between your eyes. My feet hurt.
Single white female.
My heart's been pounded with a hammer. I guess my feet were jealous. You talk to 12-year-olds, and my feet hurt. Is it worth it? I'll wear sneakers tomorrow. Come on. Give me some.
We should go on Portlandia with these.
That should go. So I actually got the idea real quick because a couple years ago I read that a lot of poetry slams in cafes in the around cities like New York and around were doing nights where they're like, everyone bring in your teenage journal and let's read it live. And I thought it was so cool.
Yeah.
I wanted to try it out when you were mentioning what would you say to your teenage self. I was like, you have to do the journal thing. And I'm glad I did. It was really kind of eye-opening to open this up this week and go through it. I might read more.
Where's this from, Hallmark?
It's actually, and Craig bought it for me.
Oh, of course.
It was a birthday gift from my first gay best friend.
From the first gay.
But you're the real one.
The real gay.
Craig was a beta test. You're the one that stays.
Yeah.
Because he's no longer in my life. Too bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, he moved to the city, I told you, and he's friends with some of the Gotham periphery.
Ironic.
6 degrees of
Maybe
separation.
Maybe I'll see him at a party and we can ignore each other.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Like, remember the times, well, that's for later, but remember the times I showed up at his house by accident.
So weird. All gay men are connected in some way. They all know each other. The gay mafia. Anyway.
I want to leave with one quote from me.
Okay, go ahead.
And since we're doing this, I remember listening to Miss Wendy back in the day, like I did.
Yes.
When she was on Shot 97. And she came back from Philly after New York left her for dead. Mm. And Russell Simmons was on her show.
Ah.
And he said, and this stuck with me since, like, I was working at the cash wrap at Kmart.
Nice.
Is he made the best decisions for the time he was in.
That's perfect.
So people, even if you're going to want to yell at your inner child, you made the best decisions for the time you were in.
After you're done giving your angsty inner teen, shut up and get over it.
Get over it, you dumb bitch.
Give them a hug. Give yourself a hug. Because you're beautiful, and it's okay that you went through stuff, and you're still learning and growing. This has been a really fun episode.
Yeah.
I found the baby doll Barrette. I can't believe it.
We're
going to
do the Cabbage Patch tour and the music.
Thank you. I'm gonna mosh because I did Cabbage Patch. I was mosh pitting.
I don't think I can.
I'll try and crowd surf, but I don't know if you can lift me. Thank you guys so much for listening and watching.
We love you for listening.
We will
and
be
watching.
Back.
And watching now.
Next week.
The scenario.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Ooh, look at that bait that we shot.